Isaiah wants to sing us a song this morning. Let me sing for my beloved, my love, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. It was good soil, that dark, rich soil that feels like coffee grounds. Anything will grow in that soil. He dug it and cleared it of stones. He worked it with his own hands, turning the earth over, getting it ready to receive the planting, removing the impediments within it, taking the stones and moving them away so that what is planted here can grow. He planted it with choice vines. If you work this hard at it, you don't want to plant just any old seed. You don't want to take a chance on just anything growing here. You pick the choice vines. You hand-pick the ones that look strong and healthy and like they're about ready to burst out. He built a watchtower in the midst of it. This was so he could watch over the garden, over the vineyard, watch the plants grow, watch the vines reach up to the sun and reach out as they grew stronger. He hewed a wine vat in the vineyard, getting ready for the harvest that is to come. He builds a wine vat right there. When the time comes, he'll be able to pull the grapes right off the vine and put them right into the wine vat and get in and turn them into wine fresh off the vine. He's getting ready for the harvest. He expected it to yield grapes, but there's that word. We run into that word in Scripture. Things are going along fine, and we run into those little words like but. But it yielded wild grapes. Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. The vineyard had been prepared, loved over, taken care of, and now it was time for the harvest. When the reward of all that hard work would come to fruition, when it would all be worth it, because the vineyard would produce sweet, sweet grapes. But that isn't what happened. Something went wrong. Instead of the good, sweet grapes, the vineyard produced wild grapes, worthless, sour grapes. Isaiah's not sure how this happened. What do we do now? We did all that work. He planted this vineyard. He got it ready. The grapes came out and they were wild grapes. They're worthless. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Something went wrong somewhere. Tell me what it was. Was it me? Because I dug up the earth. I cleared it of stones. I planted the choice vines. I built the watchtower. I prepared the wine vat. What did I do wrong? Or was something wrong in the vineyard? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Well, if the vineyard isn't going to produce a good harvest, there's only one thing for the gardener to do. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. And I'm not done there. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. If it's not going to produce good fruit, I have no use for it. I will tear it down and I will start over. I will plow it into the ground. I will let this bad vine die and I will start over. Nothing more to be done. The vineyard is worthless if it won't produce. It's not doing anybody any good. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. The big reveal, the song, it turns out, was about us. The people of God, God's kingdom, God's church. Surprise, it was about us all along. We are that vineyard that God planted, that God nurtured, that God cared for, that God protected, that God watered and fertilized. He kept out the weeds. He pruned the vines. And the harvest time came, and instead of good, sweet, beautiful grapes, we yielded wild grapes, sour grapes. Not what God had planned, not what God had hoped for. He expected justice, Isaiah tells us, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry. Reading this scripture in the lectionary this week, I was struck by that phrase. He expected justice. God has blessed us, dwelt within us, filled us with God's grace and love, and now God has expected something from us. He expected justice. These words hit me hard this week as I read them. He expected justice, but that isn't what we gave him. These past few weeks, I have been awestruck by the injustice in our world. Just 2 weeks ago, a deranged, ignorant white supremacist decided he hated brown people so much he was going to go kill some. So he loaded up his guns and he went on down to the neighborhood Walmart to find him some brown people to kill. Random. Everyday people were at that Walmart that day. People getting their groceries, buying back to school supplies with their kids, filling out the shopping list their wife had given them to complete that day, grabbing that one other thing they needed so they could go do that one thing they've been meaning to do. He killed 22 people and injured 24 in a matter of seconds. Our daily reminder that despite our head in the sand attitude about things like racism and white nationalism, it is still alive and well in our midst. And God expected justice. Margie Record was one of those wayward shoppers that day. She was running to Walmart to get a couple things. That's what she told her companion, Antonio Basco, her husband of 22 years. She would be right back. Just wanted to run and grab a couple things. In planning her funeral service this past week, Antonio wasn't sure what to do. He was kind of lost without her. They'd been together for 22 years. They were all each other had. They didn't have much family anymore. Every day he would go down to the Walmart where it happened. Around back, they had erected a makeshift memorial where people were dropping off flowers and teddy bears and notes. He would go back there to that memorial and he would kneel down and he would talk to Margie there. The last place she was. He went there to be with her, to mourn her. Wasn't sure what to do about her funeral. They really didn't have family and he was afraid not many folks would show up. So Antonio invited the community to come. He opened the funeral up to anyone who would like to come grieve. He thought he might get a few well-wishers from El Paso. Then the flowers started coming in. Then the funeral home had to change venues. People came from California, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and across the border in Mexico. They stood in line for hours Friday for Margie's funeral, then patiently waited Saturday in sweltering 100-degree temperatures as Antonio buried her. Few of those in attendance had ever met the couple in person. But everyone that was there knew that the world needed to see this, needed to see compassion, needed to see kindness, needed to see love. In the midst of horrible injustice, he expected justice. This song from Isaiah is powerful because it is true. Surrounded by the injustice of this world, far too often we shrink back and hide. We turn a blind eye to suffering. We spend our time and energy on our sour grapes. Greed, hatred, anger, racism, misogyny, homophobia, they thrive and prosper in the sweltering heat of injustice. But God expects more from us. Much, much more. He expected justice. So this morning, we're going to give him some. I need some help. Joel, would you come help me for a second? Charlie, could you help me? I mean to interrupt your video game. Joel, do you make sure everybody gets a postcard, including yourself? Emily's already had one. Would you make sure if anybody needs a pen that they get a pen? I have pens. I want to thank the regional office, by the way. They let me borrow their bags of pens. It'd be easier if you went down this. Go down this way. Go down the middle. You'll hit more people. It's all right. I want you to give them, because I want you to hit both sides. All right? Everybody, if you need a pen, let Charlie know you need a pen. Joel's going to give you a postcard. This past week, I came across this thing on social media. It took me a couple days to track it down, make sure that it was real, make sure it was true. Two elementary school teachers in El Paso, where, by the way, this past week, they started their school year. Less than a week after 22 of their neighbors, their friends, their family were gunned down by this lunatic, they had to start school. And so these two elementary teachers got on social media and decided to ask for help for their students. These students live in a community injured deeply by hatred and anger, by racism and prejudice, and now they're having to leave their homes, venture out to learn, to try and recite multiplication tables and learn that whole I before E, except after C, while trying not to think about this tragedy. It's hard enough to start the new school year and make sure I have all my notebooks and the right pencil. Now they have to try and learn while surrounded by the injustice of this world. So their teachers went on social media and asked for help. They asked for people to show their students there is still good in this world, by sending postcards to the schools, to the students, with messages of hope and love. So that's what we're going to do. Everyone now has a postcard, and hopefully we'll have a pen here in a moment. If you need a pen, let Charlie know you need a pen. You are going to write a message to students in El Paso. These are elementary school students, 6 to 10, to help them know that this shooting, this act of tragic violence perpetrated by this lunatic, is not what defines us. It is not the good fruit, the good grapes. You're going to show them that the people of Merriam Christian Church know that God expects justice. If you're having trouble knowing what to write, maybe try something like, "We love you, we're with you, we're supporting you, we're praying for you." I hope this is a year of opportunity. Learn something new today. Do good. Don't worry about addressing them. I'll take care of it. I'm going to put them all together in a manila envelope so you can use the whole back if you need to write. Please sign at least your first name, just so they know that real people are reaching out and telling them these messages of hope. Emily's going to play some music, and you're going to take a few moments to fill out your postcard. Then I would ask that you be in a time of prayer for the students at the El Paso schools, for their families, for their communities.